we need to think about, and I was so thankful that a couple of the songs we did this morning talked about joy, the joy we have in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We can cast our cares on Him and just be joyful because He made it that way. He wants us to do that. And I guess it's the elementary school teacher coming out of me when I want to cast those cares when I'm singing it. I just cast them on Him, right? And let them go. And I think there's a lot of motivational speakers that use that strategy too. They have you do something, right? So that's what we would have you to do. We're going to look, we're going to start this morning with the book of James, chapter 1. That's just a starting place. Now, I probably am going to go too fast for you to write down and look up scriptures and go there and all that stuff. But the message is online. You can access it there. If you want my notes, I'll be glad to give you a copy of it. They're not secret. There's nothing, anything, you know, I don't hang on to them because they're that precious. So you can have a copy if you would like. But we're going to go to James chapter 1. But before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, be with us now as we open your word. Help us to see the love and the joy that you have for us in your word. But not just love and joy. The love and joy, Lord, comes from walking in the Spirit and fellowshipping with you by serving you. So, Lord, help us to see that it all works together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So, Lord, help us to follow the instructions you gave, humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and be obedient to His guidance in this life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
James 1, verse 2 through 4 says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So you see, it's a process. You want to have the joy of the Lord? Get in and do the process. It's not burdensome. It's not hard. It's not tedious. It's a loving process. Amen? Do you know how professionals perfect their skills? How do they perfect their skills? By using them. There's an old saying, and I used to hear a lot, and I felt it a lot when I was first learning how to use a computer. If you don't use it, you lose it. So if you're not in there working with that computer, then you're going to have a hard time remembering the steps to get where you want to be. But baseball and football players have spring training and preseason, and school teachers do practicums. They go in before they ever become a teacher, and they practice teaching with a real live class. Isn't that exciting, Pavni, when you have to do that? It even gets more exciting when you have somebody watching you and marking down how you're doing. Pressure's on then, you know. But soldiers do the same thing. They have to endure boot camp to learn how to be a good soldier and know what to do. Amen? So all of that is done to be ready for the life they've chosen. And now they're going to learn the skills of that profession that they've chosen. Ever wonder why people experience difficulties, challenges, hardship, even death in the path they've chosen? Why is that necessary? Because it's a learning process. We learn through those challenges, and we know what to do when they arise. Perhaps life in the world is the boot camp for believers. We experience life here. We deal with it, so we'll know what to do. There's two things I think to ponder most here at this point. Two things. First, God doesn't cause things to happen for our training. He doesn't specifically cause them to happen for our training. They're going to happen anyway. How do I know that? Because we live in a fallen and finite world. And whether you believe in Christ or not, you're going to have to deal with that world. But if you learn the ways of the Lord, you'll be able to deal with it more successfully. And certainly you'll arrive at the end you want to experience when you get there, if you follow the Lord and follow His ways, right? Remember, we live in this fallen world. We must learn how to cope with it. The best way to cope with it is to follow the Lord. Follow the Holy Spirit. Amen? Perhaps life in the world is the boot camp for believers. We have to experience it to learn. Second thing is this. The things God allows to happen to people. Things happen to people, don't they? God allows them. The things He allows to happen to people are used to draw them to Himself. He wants to draw people to Himself. And so when things happen in life, He's there. Call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And then you keep doing that all through your life. You keep calling on the name of the Lord. And being saved is comparable to Him guiding you on how to deal with it. You'll be saved from the chaos, the confusion, the negatives that would happen if you don't follow. Because there is a way, isn't there? Amen. Jesus said He is that way. So we want to follow Jesus in His ways to be successful in life. Many Christians think once they finally made the decision for Christ that everything else is going to fall right into place and life is going to be hunky-dory from that moment on. No more problems. I'm in Christ. After all, I've cast my cares on Him. So it's going to be smooth going from now on, right? Then, when trials and tough times come upon them or continue, what happens? They begin to question the Lord, question His ways, question if they're even saved or not. Am I really saved? Maybe I better go back and examine that. Is there anything wrong with doing that? Going back and examining your salvation experience? Not in the least. Because if you've truly been saved, you'll just be reassuring yourself. And if not, you'll be guaranteeing that you get saved, right? Don't ever be afraid to go back to the Lord and speak with Him about things regarding your salvation. Some things about the past, you just let them go. Nothing you can do about it. Ask for forgiveness and move forward in the Lord. But other times, you call on the Lord and He will lead you in the place He wants you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we question, why is this happening? Why are things going along this way? I don't get it. Why aren't we sailing along smoothly? We're supposed to be doing that. Wonder why we're not. Wonder why we're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. Because after all, isn't that what believers want to experience? The joy of the Lord. We want to be filled with the joy of the Lord. So maybe we ought to ask the question, how does that happen? The joy of the Lord that they first felt when they got saved. You remember that? When you first got saved? The emotion of it, the freedom of it, the peace of knowing that you've been saved. You ought to go back sometimes and visit that time and see how you come out and how you feel after that. I think you'll be at peace again. But people that question that a lot, they haven't yet realized that humbling themselves to walk in the Spirit, that's the way you're in the joy of the Lord. Walking in the Holy Spirit, doing what He is guiding you to do, humbling yourself to Him, that's the joy of the Lord. That's how you find it, and that's how you keep it. The Apostle Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, looking at verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9, he says, in this, referring to our salvation, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. You don't get taken out of the world when you get saved. You're still part of the world. It's fallen. It's finite. It's not for you. It's against you. And so you're still going to suffer some things. That's typical in your walk with the Lord. You know, it's a shame that we don't get told that more often when we first get saved. Things are going to be tough for a while. You're not going to understand it. But don't give up. Hang in there. Hang on. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Follow the Holy Spirit. And it'll work out. He goes on to say, these have come. These things are happening. They've come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. You're proving your faith. You're building your faith. You're becoming stronger in your faith as you face these things on a day-to-day basis. And so, give in. Follow the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the way and lead you. He will. He'll open your eyes and your heart to following Him, and He'll show you the truth. Amen? Your faith can be proven genuine and may result in praising the Lord. It is real. I did get saved, and I am on my way to glory. I know the Lord's going to be there, and I know the Holy Spirit is with me now, giving me strength to walk through this world. Do that. Don't just do it every now and then. Do it often. Build yourself up. Build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. Though you have not seen Him, it goes on to say, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. Jesus Christ, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. You want to have joy in your life? Focus on the Lord. Focus on following the Holy Spirit. That's where the joy is in this world. It's not out there in the world. It's living for the Lord and following Him in the world. That's the key to it, loving Him. We need to understand that God's joy cannot be taken away. His joy cannot be taken away once a person is born again and receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to leave you. Even when you do those dumb things that you wish you hadn't done, those things that are called sin, He's not going to leave you. He's going to stop blessing you. You're not going to be blessed in sin. But what's He going to do? He's going to guide you back to the right path. That's what His job is, to keep you on the right path. And if you step off, He'll get you back on it. He doesn't say, oh, you blew it. That's it. No. And it's not three strikes, you're out. It's keep going, keep going, keep going. I'm with you. I'll build you up. I'll give you strength. Keep your eyes on me. Follow me. And I will show you the way. Amen. As believers, we are promised His constant presence, the constant presence of the Holy Spirit. He's here right now in this body. He's in here right now in your body. He wants to lead you. How will that happen? When you humble yourself to Him and give Him the permission and you follow Him. That's what it takes. Amen. We are promised His joy. You want the joy of the Lord? Walk in the Spirit. That's where the joy of the Lord is. The words of Jesus in John 15:11 tell us this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. That's why Jesus came. He came to save you and fill you with His joy so you can show the world that God is real, and He is your joy, and you can live a life praising Him without fear that it's not true. He is real. He is true. He is faithful. He is loving. He will give you the peace you're looking for. He will give you the strength you're looking for. Here's the big if. You. You're the big if. If you humble yourself and follow Him. That's our part. We don't have to work out and build up to get the strength. He is the strength, the Holy Spirit, our strength in carrying out the mission that the Lord Jesus gave us. You know the mission, right? Go and make disciples. Amen. How do you make disciples? You ask them if they know the Lord Jesus. Anybody, you can ask anybody, do you know the Lord Jesus? You know who He is? Do you know what He did for you? And if they do and they can tell you who He is and what He did for them, hey, that's great. You can rejoice in fellowship. If they don't, then you can rejoice in fellowship as you explain to them who He is. And give them the good news. The good news that there's another world coming and it's a whole lot better than this one. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Yes. That's what we need to do. His joy can't be taken away. Once a person is born again, they have the Holy Spirit forever. Can't lose Him. Can't kick Him out. Try to kick Him out. How do you do that? Disobedience. But He won't go even then. He stays to bring you back and get you in shape again. Amen? We need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are promised His joy if we will focus on Him. The words of Jesus in John 15:11 tell us this. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Complete joy. In all circumstances. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You can still have joy. Humble yourself to the Spirit. He'll make sure you get it. Other examples such as Acts 13:52, which says, and the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. There's the filling. God gives it to you freely if you'll follow Him and humble yourself. Acts 16:34, the jailer. This is when Paul was thrown into jail. And there were others there, and they were locked up tight. They couldn't get out. What'd they do? Moan and groan and whine? No, they rejoiced and sang songs to the Lord. They were praising Him. They were keeping their eye on the Spirit and being faithful. Faithful to the Lord to share what He had given to them. Amen? So they're in prison. The jailer brought them into the house after they sang the songs. And that miracle happened. Their chains fell off. Why did all that happen? Because they were faithful to the Lord to share His goodness. And the jailer and his whole household got saved. They were used to save that household. Amen? Well, how did that happen? They humbled themselves and continued to have the joy of the Lord in their heart and praise God. Amen? Bad things are going to happen. We must have our mind focused on the Spirit and being joyful and proclaiming that joy. Don't hold it inside. Let it out so others can be seeing it and be worshiping with you and having that joy themselves. We also need to take our eyes off the challenges of the enemy. The enemy, and fix them on God's joy by continually walking in the Spirit. Are you getting the message this morning? It's about walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
Forget about what you're going to do to make things better. Ask the Spirit to lead you into that goodness. What is He going to do to help you reach that place you want to be? Just like salvation, joy is free. There's no charge for it. Walk in the Spirit. You'll get the joy and a perfect gift from the Lord. That joy, the presence of the Holy Spirit, is free for us to choose. It's not a one-time choice. It's a moment-by-moment choice. Forget day-to-day. Life is happening too fast for that. It's a moment-by-moment choice. You've got to decide, am I going to be down in the mouth and knocked out flat? Or am I going to keep my eyes on the Lord and keep moving forward? And it's not easy. You're still going to have the emotions. You're going to still have the sorrow, the grief, the difficulties that would normally be there. But now you've got someone to walk with you. And that someone is the most powerful someone ever.
Amen.
Not just in creation, even outside of creation. He's called God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is God. He is with you. The joy of the presence of the Holy Spirit is free for us to choose. But we must choose it. We know He's there. We must choose Him. Amen?
Amen.
And so you grab on to that joy and you hold on to the Spirit. Oh, I know you can't physically grab Him, but you can in your mind and in your heart. You can be there with Him, hanging on. And so you walk with the Spirit and you keep that joy of the Lord in you. Like a bulldog hangs on to its chewy toy, enjoying every moment of the joy. Yes, enjoy His joyful presence in your life, loving you and guiding you. Choose joy over bitterness, anger, and sorrow. Don't worry about getting even with anybody. Give that to the Lord. Cast your care on Him. Give it up to the Lord. You're going to be a lot happier. You're going to be more joyful if you do. You're going to be freed. You'll be free to keep walking in the joy of the Lord. But if you hang on to stuff, you block that. Don't block it. Give it up to Him so you can move on. Choose the joy of the Lord moment by moment, no matter what. Well, I can't list all the negative things that could happen to you in the world. You know they're out there. I know they're out there. But keep moving on, hanging on to the Lord. Here's some examples from Scripture. Out of the most severe trial, let me tell you, it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. This is the Apostle Paul describing saints in Corinth, the city of Corinth. It was a ruthless, ugly town, a seaport town. A lot of sin going on there. These people had come out of it. It cost them something, but they continued to help the church go on and survive in that ugly place. And Paul is commending them. What he's really commending them for is walking in the Spirit, being faithful to God through the Spirit. And they're going to be blessed for it. Then in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, we're reminded, you became imitators of us. This is Paul talking about he imitates Christ. They imitate Him. Therefore, they are imitating Christ. Does that make sense? Sure. So, he's saying to them, you became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit. They heard the Spirit. They responded to the message. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He will bring you through. And they did that, and He did bring them through. And then we go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Hey, persecution of Christians didn't begin recently. It's been going on since day one, right? And so they had their property confiscated because of their profession of faith. But they were dealing with it. Because you knew that yourselves, you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. There's nothing that you can see or feel or taste or touch in this world that's going to last. I mean, the thought hit me the other day. Everything in this world is dying. It's passing away. Everything. Except for one thing. And that's the joy of the Lord. Being saved. Being in Him. If you're in Him, you don't have to worry about that. Yeah, you're going to leave this world. You're going to leave this life. You're even going to leave this body behind. But you're going to get a brand new one. And you're going to be shouting and singing when that day comes. Amen? No more pills to worry about taking in the morning, right? Just get up and go. And the best illustration of all is this, Hebrews 12:2. This is very encouraging. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes. You can see that the joy of these passages of Scripture is not the same as worldly joy. Worldly joy is passing, not godly joy. It goes on and on and on. Worldly joy and happiness comes and goes like the waves hitting the seashore. Worldly joy isn't something you can cling to. It's not something you can grasp and hang on to. It's not something you can hang on to when you've lost a loved one or faced bankruptcy or all kinds of other catastrophes in life. Too many to name, but they happen. Who are you going to hang on to when that happens? It better be the Lord. For the believer, the fruit of the Spirit, including joy, is like a bottomless water barrel. You can't exhaust it. You can't exhaust it. It's impossible. There's always an abundant supply. Even in the darkest days when sadness, grief, and loss may threaten to overwhelm you, God's joy is still there. Get your eyes on Him. It'll work out if you stay faithful to Jesus. Stay faithful to calling on Him. Stay faithful to hearing the Holy Spirit comforting you. He will do it. God's joy is there for our comfort and our victory. Our victory. Well, I could bust out in victory for Jesus again. Okay? It's there, I'm telling you. The joy of the Lord comes by making the decision every day to choose joy. I'm going to skip all the negative stuff. I'm just going to go right to joy and choose that. And I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And He's going to let me see where the joy is. No matter what, I'm going to look at it and say, I'd rather have the joy of the Lord. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Here's some examples. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 and 3. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond. That's 2 Corinthians. And then, seems like I said this before. Am I being repetitious here? Maybe the Lord wants me to say it again. All right. I'm going to go on. Paul describes Corinthian believers giving to help believers in Jerusalem. You know, there was a time when the church in Jerusalem was in deep trouble as far as, you know, having what they needed. Just the daily needs of life. And so the Apostle Paul was going around taking up a collection for them to send it back so they could have what they needed. I'm just having trouble focusing here this morning. Well, let's start from here. The joy of the Lord comes by making the decision every day to choose joy. We said that. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in them. Amen?
Amen.
Paul describes in Thessalonica, and he says, Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy at the Spirit, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. And then he says this in 1 Thessalonians 16 through 18. No, it's Hebrews 10:34. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Doesn't matter what happens. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Take it to Him, and the Holy Spirit will help you to overcome. When I was at Trinity College quite some time ago, there was a very beloved professor there. His name was Dr. E.C. Bragg, Dr. Bragg. And he taught the theology section to the students there. But, you know, he wasn't earning a lot of money as a college professor. So he had a part-time job. He was a jeweler. And he had a jewelry shop on the corner of Main Street and I want to say alternate 19 that came down through there. It was a busy corner and he had a jewelry shop there. Well, one night he got a call from the police department and somebody had broken the window out of the front of his store and stole all the merchandise that was in the window. And so the police called him down there and he went down there. And he's standing there looking at it and the police are standing there and he starts singing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so they looked at him like he was nuts. But he was just reinforcing his faith that God would take care of it, the Holy Spirit would bring him through it. And so that's how he dealt with it. And then, I don't know how many of you know Steve and Vicki Sauer. Yeah, they've been homebound quite a lot in the last few years, and so you don't see much of them. But a few years ago, they live up off of 19, and their house caught on fire. Yes. And it was damaged to the point where they couldn't repair it. And I think Steve lost a motorcycle in that fire. And he loved birds. They had some exotic birds that they had. A couple of those were killed in the fire. And I'll never forget that when I heard what was going on, I drove over there as fast as I could get there. And Steve was standing outside by the side of the road. And the firemen were still cleaning up and getting things done. And I said, Steve, how you doing? He said, I'm praising God. I love the Lord. And this had to happen for a reason. I don't know what it is, but he was praising God because it had happened. And he was ready to walk forward the Lord. I never expected that from Steve. I have to say that. But he was right there with it. You know, praising the Lord and trusting Him. Last but not least, hear this encouraging command from the Holy Spirit. It's in Hebrews 12:2. The Holy Spirit tells us this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus accepted that He would die a gruesome death. He knew that was going to happen. But in obedience to God's plan and for the salvation of whosoever will. Whosoever will believe. That's right. He went to the cross and suffered it. Whosoever. He sacrificed Himself for their salvation. Ryan, would you come up, please? For a believer, the joy of the Lord is realized by walking, living in the Holy Spirit, staying focused on following Him. That means obeying the Holy Spirit. I know there's times when you hear the Holy Spirit and you think, what? Did I just really get that message? You hear the Holy Spirit and you want to walk in Him. Walking in the Spirit means obeying Him. So when you hear Him speak, you can say, what? Really? That's okay. He'll repeat it. He'll let you know that He wants you to do something, and He'll lead you in how you're going to do it. That means obeying Him. Well, how does that work? Here's how it works. When He says, speak, we speak. When He says, be quiet, we're quiet. When He says, help them, we help them. When He says, just leave them alone, then we just leave them alone. When He says, tell them about Jesus, we tell them about Jesus. And sometimes you have to be quick about it because they don't want to stay and listen very long. So you tell them Jesus loves you, gave His life for you. He wants you to be with Him forever. So you tell them about Jesus. Whenever the Holy Spirit speaks, we should do what He says and let Him do the rest. Cast it on Him. Do your part. Do what He tells you to do. Cast the rest on Him. He'll take care of it. Trust me. Are you willing to do that? Will you make the commitment to hear Him and trust Him and obey Him? That's where the rubber meets the road. I hear Him. I trust Him. Now am I going to do it? To obey the Holy Spirit, you must first be born again. You can't follow the Holy Spirit without being born again. So the first thing He wants you to do is to be born again, get saved, call on Jesus. Amen. If you haven't done that yet, you're not getting the full help of the Holy Spirit because He's still trying to love you into saying yes to Jesus. I trust you. That's the first thing you have to do. That means, here's the hard part, that means admitting that you are a sinner and then calling on Christ to take away your sin debt. You can do that right now. You can walk up here right now. You can stand up right where you're at right now and confess, I need Jesus. I'm a sinner. But I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I want to be a saint. That's how you get to be a saint. It's not by all the good things you do. It's by trusting Jesus. You can do that right now. Nobody here is going to object. In fact, they're all probably going to cheer and shout if you stood up and said, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus. By the response, I have to assume you're all saved. You're all born again. Okay, great. So now that you're all born again, what are you going to do? Answer the call. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Patty said, walk in Christ. Well, how do you do that? You walk in the Spirit. You do what the Spirit says. You hear His call and you do it. So now the Lord is calling you for a commitment to hear the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about all the other big stuff you might have to do later. Just focus on that. I want to hear the Holy Spirit. Start praying that you're going to hear the Holy Spirit. And when you hear Him, that you're going to respond positively to the call. Because the Holy Spirit is calling you to do something for the Lord. He never calls you to do something for Himself. He's always about shifting the focus to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to do something for the Lord. So you trust the Holy Spirit. You obey the Holy Spirit. You can do that right now. You can declare right now, I'm going to answer the call, whatever it is. You'll be able to handle it, whatever it is, because He'll enable you. And if it seems like a big thing and you don't know how you're going to handle it, but you're going to do it, He'll show you how to do it. It might be one little chunk at a time. Do this first, then do this, next do that. But He will enable you. He'll guide you. He'll walk with you, and you'll be able to do it. The Lord is calling you, the Holy Spirit is calling you to make a commitment to hear Him and to follow Him. I don't know what that's going to be. What is He going to call you to do? I don't know. He's calling you. He's called me to do something else. He'll call you to do something. Hear Him. Respond. That's all He wants. He wants a response. We're going to sing a song. You can think about it while we're singing.